You're listening to The Gulf Stream, the official podcast of the Heart Research Institute at Texas A&M University, Corpus Christi.
Welcome to the Gulf Stream podcast. My name is Athena Frasca. I am HRI's Watershed Coordinator for the Bringing Baffin Back Initiative, and I'm really excited to head down the coast with you all today for this special episode about Baffin Bay. Baffin Bay is an iconic estuary on the South Texas coast. It's beautiful, rural, ecologically very unique, and economically very important, especially for recreational and commercial fishing, as well as for hunting and all sorts of other activities, including bird watching and just spending time outdoors. Like many natural systems along the Gulf, Baffin Bay faces its fair share of challenges, including water quality degradation and habitat loss. That's where conservation efforts like the Bringing Baffin Back Initiative, a collaborative initiative led by the Heart Research Institute and the Coastal Bend Bays and Estuaries Program, come into play, and also where today's guests come in. In this episode, we're diving into ecotourism and how local businesses help sustain ecosystems and communities. I'm joined today by Megan and Justin Broadnaugh, the couple behind La Pesca Lodge, a premier fishing and hunting lodge on the shores of Baffin Bay. They've built a destination that really has drawn anglers, hunters, outdoor recreation enthusiasts, and all sorts of other people from across the country and the state. They have been advocates and stewards for Baffin Bay and have been really involved in all sorts of facets of our Bringing Baffin Back initiative and other work. So quick intro, Justin, known as Captain Storm, grew up navigating Baffin Bay and is said to have waded every inch of the shoreline. He has a deep love for chasing trophy trout and sharing that passion with others through his guide services and just community engagement across the board. Megan is La Patrona at La Pesca Lodge, and she really runs the show as lodge manager and trip coordinator and overall manages all sorts of different parts of the day-to-day operations at the lodge, and they both do a whole lot outside of that too. So Megan and Justin, welcome. Give you a quick minute to introduce yourselves, and we'll get rolling.
Thank you. I'm Megan.
The star of the show.
The star of the show.
Without her.
Yes, I'm day-to-day operations. When you call us, I'm the one that answers the phone, gets your trips on the books, and helps you with anything you need.
Love it.
And I'm Captain Storm. I'm the fishing guide. I rely on her more than anybody else around the lodge. I mean, without her, I'd just be a fishing guide.
It's a team effort.
Yes, yeah, you all are quite a team.
Yes.
Well, I guess we would love to hear more about La Pesca Lodge. Just let's start at the beginning and talk about, you know, why you chose to open a lodge on Baffin Bay and how that idea took shape.
Well,
there was a lot of factors involved in wanting to start a lodge. When we first got started together, we were kind of running this business out of Airbnbs and small rentals and stuff on the water. She was the chef, the booking lady, the coordinator, the cleaning lady. She did everything.
It started small. We were the only two in the beginning, and it kind of took on a life of its own.
When did you all get started? What year was that?
2020?
Nice.
I think.
Yeah, it's about five.
It's 2020, 2021. Yep, he was already fishing, and I was working a 9-to-5 job in the refinery and tired of driving back and forth. And, you know, we just thought, you know, there's a better way to do this and work together and boost the fishing trips coming in. We were getting a lot. He was, you know, has a good clientele already, and we would get a lot of questions like, where can we stay? Where can we eat? Those kind of things. And we just said, hey, what if we just did everything in-house and we'll rent these Airbnbs, different Airbnb every week to suit our clients depending on the group size. And he fished them and I would cook and host them, and it kind of morphed into this La Pesca Lodge. And you know, when we first started, we were like, hey, let's shoot to get a house on the water where we could live and also put our clients to make it, you know.
The dream was small in the beginning. Yeah. we had no idea it was going to grow to be this big.
Yes.
You know?
It has turned into a 10,000 square foot facility. And, you know, now we can host our clients in house. And we have an amazing staff that cooks for them. And
I think at first we were just looking for a little financial freedom and more freedom to raise our kids and do what we wanted to do. And mm-hmm. and obviously we have a love for the outdoors. So
yeah, being able to... Yeah, it sounds like you've combined all of those things really
Being able to spend that time outside and do this stuff, yep. it's been a blessing.
Not sitting at a desk or, you know...
Yeah. Dynamic day.
Sweating outside.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. Hey, speak for yourself.
Yeah, well, it's hot out there. He still sweats outside.
True.
But
yeah, depends on the day, I'm sure. Yeah. I think you described it a little bit, but we'd love to hear about what a typical day looks like for you all. And mm-hmm. I'm sure it is different every day, but, mm-hmm. but kind of the average.
Depending on the time of year, right? Spring forward or fall back. But typically, I get up about 4 o'clock in the morning, get my day started, my first cup of coffee. You know, and then get down to the lodge, and typically I'm there about an hour or so before we roll out in the morning, and I have coffee with the clients, kind of go over our itinerary for the day. If we're going to be wade fishing or fishing out of the boat or what our goal is and stuff like that. And then we get out on the water and fish, and I mean, depending on what we're doing, where we're going, we can run up to 30 miles sometimes, so the day could be long. Wow. We'd typically end by about noon. To 2 o'clock, you know, lunchtime. And then I come back and it's back to relying on her.
Come back in, eat a nice lunch from our girl Maddie, and, you know, start taking care of the clients. I get there around that time, drop the kids off at school, head down to the lodge, help with whatever I need to. And then once the clients come in, it's, you know,
Back to work. There's really no breaks. And yeah. Not just having a fishing lodge, but being a fishing guide or being in the outdoor industry. Once you get done with everything else, you have the cleaning to do and you have the prepping for the next day. And mm-hmm. So it's busy. It's busy.
It's always something to do.
And then for a mom, it's even busier.
Yes.
So it's a busy day.
You're balancing
but it's
fun. A lot.
Yes. Got one on each hip.
How many clients do you have on a typical week or on a typical basis?
We started out with maybe what? 2 to 3 groups a week, and now it has turned into a full-blown operation. So starting September 1st, we have probably 6 to 7 different groups coming in and out every week.
I would say anywhere on a regular week, it could be anywhere from 20 to 60 people we see a week. Sometimes you get a couple of groups of 4 to 5 people, but we do a lot of corporate events and stuff like that. So we see high numbers during the week. I would say on average, we'll say 50 people a week, right? Yes. And then coming into our busy time, September, October, we have dove hunting, our cast and blast, and I think we're fully booked. We don't have any availability for the next 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm. I've seen those notifications on your website and on social media.
I'm working on December now, so December is kind of where my books are starting to open back up, and working on filling spring 2026.
It's exciting. So, wow, I'm sure you've had to learn how to plan ahead that's a Wyatt long advance.
I don't do all that stuff myself. We got a lot of help. You know, you got a lot of guides to take care of that many people.
So. Yes.
Yeah, how many guides do you employ for fishing and then for hunting as well?
It just, like I say, it depends. Anywhere from 10 to 15 guys. Most of them are contractors. You know, and they have their own jobs. They've been doing this for years also, so they have their own clientele. We fill in and try to help all the guides in the area. So they help us out a lot.
Yes, they help us. You know, they put their clients with us.
It's a revolving door, La Pesca is. You know, you got to get by with a little help from your friends.
Yeah, I love that.
We couldn't do it without our amazing team.
Yeah.
Another guide question for you, Storm. You mentioned you go over the goals and kind of things that people want to do on their trips every morning. What does that usually look like? Do people come to you with, you know, a size of fish that they want to catch or some specific number, or what kind of questions and requests do you get from people?
It's changed over the years. You know, when I first started guiding, it was all about, let's go catch fish. Let's go kill as many fish as we can. You know, we want to fill the freezers. Might not be a couple of months till we come back. And now everybody's more geared towards catch and release and trophy trout fishing, which you've always had those guys. But even like our corporate groups that normally like to kill a bunch of fish, they've been seeing what's going on with the freezes and, you know, the drought and just different things going on in the bay, and they're allowing us to release a lot of these fish, and which has really helped the bay. But I go over things like what is your goal? Do you want to catch a big trout? And it's good to clear the air early in the morning and figure that goal out. There's a lot of things you go over in the boat. Like I say, I get different guys. So just depending on their skill level and stuff like that, where we're going to be wade fishing, what obstacles we have. There, you can be on rocky shorelines, you can be in mud. So it all comes down to things like that.
You listed off a couple of things like the rocks and the shoreline and the trophy trout, of course, that Baffin Bay is known for. But what else brings people down to the bay? What makes it special, and why do people flock to this area to do those different recreation activities?
The people coming down to Baffin, they're coming down there because they know it's a special bay in regards to we don't get a lot of tidal movement. Back to the fish grow larger down there. And I'm not a biologist, so I don't know exactly why. But I do know our bay is saltier, we have less movement, and it does make it special because we don't have predators. And again, I'm not sure what keeps them out of there. It could be the low tides, the low water movement, the salt, but there's a lot of things. I get first-time wade fishermen that want to come down there because they don't have to worry about sharks or stingrays, so that brings them down. And then the pristine shorelines, you know, we have miles and miles of shoreline that you can wade that there's no houses, there's no county piers, you know, you're not ducking and dodging structure, you're walking the King Ranch. And so there's a couple of different things, but I would say the main reason people come to Baffin Bay is because of big trout, trophy trout. That's why they're there.
Yeah, that's the kind of tagline that we hear.
Yep. Home of the trophy trout.
I love that. What's the furthest someone's traveled to stay at your lodge? Do you know, or to come fish with you?
Yeah.
All corners of the country. We've had people from California,
New York, Oregon.
Wow.
Kansas City.
Europe.
Yeah, Europe.
That's exciting.
Probably the farthest. Yes.
Yeah, that's
yes.
That's gotta be the farthest.
It's gotta be the farthest.
And but do you get lots awesome. Of local clients as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yep.
And, lots of locals. You know, it's funny because we've had local guys fishing with us, and I never expected them to come drive 10 minutes and spend the night with us and enjoy the benefits of the meals and the lodging and stuff. But we've had a pretty good response from the community. Yeah. We've got people driving from Kingsville to Riviera and come spend the night with us and fish with us.
A little staycation.
Yeah, I love that.
Staycation. They even put their overflow, like if they have family in town and they don't have enough beds at home, they put them at the lodge and they get to enjoy all the amenities. And
which is a blessing because those are things that keep our doors open, you know, having a little help from the community because it's without those doors, it's hard for me to fill every room. Mm-hmm. I can't take 10 boats in the morning.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to have that help.
Absolutely.
No, that makes a lot of sense and balance the family time. And I know you all have a new pool that you put in, and I bet that brings more family members in too.
Yep. It's been a busy summer with the pool.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's a good addition.
We covered this a little bit already, and I think we'll keep talking about it through our conversation, but how does the local community benefit from Baffin Bay and its natural resources and these other lodges and things along the shoreline that are not just about fishing? Would love to hear a little bit from you all about that benefit and interaction.
I would say we benefit from the community, like I've been talking about, probably more than they benefit from us. But we do our best to help the youth any way we can. Because in the end, it's all about the young ones, right, coming up and sharing the same love of the outdoors and the recreational part of it and just protecting the resource. So we try to reach out and donate to the youth as far as FFA or the local high school.
Football team, fishing club, cheerleading team.
And we've had plans in the works of maybe doing like an outdoor camp or something for the youth, for the local youth. Get them down and get them involved. And there's a lot of kids in the area that don't get to go fishing. Or if they do, they fish, they get to sit on the bank and fish or fish from the pier. They don't always get to go on the boat ride. Mm-hmm. And to me, the boat ride's the best part sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm sure we'll come back to this too, but we really had a great time working with you all for the Texas Brigades camp. And for listeners that aren't aware of the Texas Brigades, they're a nonprofit organization that does outdoor leadership camps across the state. And they typically do overnight camps and geared towards slightly older kids. But we had the opportunity to do for the past 2 years through the Bringing Baffin Back initiative, a one-day experience on Baffin Bay. Mm-hmm. And La Pesca took their fishing guides out and helped the kids both on land and on the boat, get their fishing lines set up, and then, like you said, Storm, get out on the water and just get to see what it feels like to experience the bay from a boat. and interact with captains and just learn basics of boat safety too. So we're really thankful that you all did that. And it was so much fun to see some of the kids, the look on their face. They were kind of nervous getting on the boat. And then, I don't know if you remember, but they hopped on and like, this is the first time I've ever been on one. Am I going to fall off? And then they relaxed and had a really great experience. So I'm excited to hear that you all are thinking about more options like that in the future too. So shifting gears a little bit, I wanted to talk about ecotourism with you all. And that's kind of a big term, but a simple definition. It is ecotourism is responsible travel that focuses on exploring natural environments in a way that conserves the environment, sustains the well-being of communities, and promotes education and appreciation for nature. Mm-hmm. And just thinking of that definition, it sounds a lot like what you all have described so far and what your goals are and what you're already doing, even if you don't always market La Pesca as an ecotourism lodge or Baffin Bay as an ecotourism destination. It still checks a lot of those boxes. So do you see La Pesca as being part of that ecotourism model? Is that something you think about when you think towards the future of the lodge?
Absolutely. You know, like you said, we may not, you know, I'm not pushing it as hard online right now because we're trying to move in the direction of cutting out all single-use plastics, implementing our plastic-free program. But we do a lot of educational things at the lodge as well, like the Baffin Bay Stakeholders Meeting, with bringing back Baffin Back Initiative, the CCA Anglers Nights Out. We bring in guest speakers from all over, including Mike Wetz, Chris Bush.
I think as important as it is to cut out the material things like the plastics and stuff, it's also important to protect your resource, right? Like, so it goes back to letting fish go, taking the kids, or I mean, I've got fishermen that have been fishing for 30 or 40 years that have been trying to catch a trophy trout, and then to see them give back to that resource and let that thing swim away and see that, that's a big deal. Big deal. It's a big part of it also, giving back to the resource as far as cutting out plastics and things like that that can environmentally make a difference, but you're making an environmental difference with the fish too, right? Because we're growing bigger fish, we're releasing fish, and there's just different ways that ecotourism works within the industry completely.
When you take clients out on the water storm, do you talk about that or talk about Baffin Bay as a resource that is something to be protected as well as enjoyed?
Of course. I try to give my clients the freedom to make their own choices. Personally, me, I try to let those fish go, especially wade fishing. I prefer to not even carry a stringer unless I'm going to keep redfish most of the time. But I'm not going to tell my clients, you're not allowed to keep your legal limit of fish. This is what I like to do. I prefer to watch them swim away in that instance. And I try to lead by example when it comes to that. And in most guys, they might pick their stringer up, look at it, and put it right back in the boat. A lot of guys are saying, heck, I got a couple of kids at home that love fish. And I love that, you know, because I do too. And I still like to eat fish. But there's sometimes where I'll just turn around and let them go, watch them swim away, and sometimes that's the best.
And show them the educational side, like when he is out on charters as well. And I know that when y'all've caught big trout, you tag them for trout tagging Texas and educate the clients. This is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. This is why we're doing it.
Yeah, we work with the Sport Fish Center. We do some tagging with them also. And that gives them an initiative also. And I'll show them, this is what I like to do with my bigger fish. And that's the kind of stuff that helps give back also, because that's the research behind it, you know. And over the years, when that adds up, we'll see more from it. But those are little things that help. And those guys will see that, and they're like, you mean I get to tag that?
Yeah.
You get to tag that fish?
It's exciting.
Yeah. They don't know about it. You teach them and educate them about it, and they're like, man, that's cool. I want to do it too. And
it might be 2 years down the road. It might be 2 months. But if somebody recaptures that fish, we get to know where it went, how much it's grown, how much does it weigh now. You know, I have one incident. I'm not sure who tagged it or what operation it was. My buddy Darren, I'm not sure what institute tagged the fish, right? But Darren tagged it, and it was in Baffin. And I want to say 2 weeks later, it was down at the Oakmonts in Port Mansfield.
Oh, wow.
So that's, you know, just a little insight on.
Yeah, and you know, you saw this here, and it's moved that far.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. Yeah, definitely kind of sparks stewardship, I think, in people, too, and really want to continue to see that be possible.
It pushes them to want to let those fish go. Let them go and let them grow.
Yeah, you know? That's really cool. Yeah. I love that cycle of enjoying the resource and protecting it and how it kind of loops back over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is catching fish and taking them home to your kids, and then they get to learn where the fish was caught and what their mm-hmm. family member was doing and hear the stories about being mm-hmm. out on the water.
Fishing's exciting in general, but when you add stuff like that to it, it'll put a smile on your face.
Yeah. And you grew up fishing the bay, so I'm sure you have plenty of stories and memories of moments like that.
Tons of fishing
And
stories.
I also went through the same changes, you know, so it's easy for me to understand. There was a time where I wanted to kill every fish in the bay that was legal. Mm-hmm. And now I'm to the point where I'd like to watch the kids catch them. So it'll come in waves, right?
Sure. You mentioned research a second ago and talking about the tagging initiative, some of HRIs and others of CCAs and other groups in the state. But you've also been really involved in our Bringing Baffin Back initiative. And so we've been monitoring water quality monthly in Baffin Bay since 2013, really with the help of a large group of citizen scientists who've either helped by donating their boat as time on their boat and mm-hmm. their captain time, or collecting samples themselves. And through those efforts, we've collected over 65,000 samples from Baffin Bay.
Wow.
That's awesome. Yeah, it feels like a lot. And then, of course, there's always more work to do, and we hope to continue that monitoring program for a long time. Mm-hmm. But Storm, you've been one of those citizen scientist volunteers who's spent time with our research team out on the water as a boat captain, and have also, you know, given us insight into what's going on the bay at different times of year. But could you talk more about that experience and how interacting with that research team has maybe shaped your view of the bay, or how that has just impacted your vision of stewardship for Baffin Bay?
It's given me good insight, you know, because you get to see the different salinity levels and all that stuff. And one thing I have learned that I thought was really cool is there's one area in Baffin that always has brown tide. And like you said, I just take the guys out there, the guys doing the real work, like Dominic, you know, they know all about it. But and I'd love to hear the answer again. But there's one spot right there somewhere around Site 55 that always has brown tide every time they collect data. And to me, that's super interesting, you know, and what's going to happen with that.
That site up in the Laguna Salada arm of Baffin Bay, a lot of our research has indicated that that is kind of an incubator location for the brown tide organism, and that's what contributes to algal blooms in Baffin Bay. And a lot of the time it's just hanging out up there. Mm-hmm. It's in the water. It's not causing a problem. And so a lot of Dr. Wetz's research looks into what allows that to spread throughout the rest of the bay and what circumstances contribute to those brown tides. But yeah, when our team goes out and measures salinity and measures the different parameters of water quality, I've had a lot of fun seeing that in the past.
Yeah, and you know, growing up there, you know, I used to swim in the waters there, and I've seen it go from clear to gray, like the Cayo del Gruel, and then back to clear, no grass, grass, and that's kind of got me to the point why I wanted to volunteer, because I wanted to know what was going on, and if it's supposed to be like that, or if it's getting better, if it's always changing, you know, and you don't know unless you go out and do that kind of stuff and get behind the research. So it's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I really like to see it.
Yeah. Something you don't necessarily think about every day, but then when you guys come in, it raises awareness even to us, you know, wow, I never thought about that. You know, so it is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and if y'all didn't do what y'all do, then I would never even thought about it. You know, we just continue our day. So the real thanks is to you guys doing all this stuff for us, because I hope to see more people get behind it, you know, because it's a benefit that we should be using. Y'all are doing a lot of work, and we need to be more into it for sure.
Yeah, well, we've appreciated all the time and effort that you've put into it, and that you've included some of your other captains and mm-hmm. team members in collecting those water quality samples with us. And also the Baffin Bay stakeholder group meetings that you mentioned, Megan. We've really enjoyed getting to know everyone at La Pesca and
enjoying
your space.
We've learned a lot from them as well, you know. So yeah. It does bring a lot of...
So educational.
Yes. Not, you know...
Having Mike come down and speak and stuff like that, that brings so much insight. And like I say, the educational purposes are great. I've learned so much just listening to y'all. Even on the boat, you know, just listening to the guys talk back and forth about the water sampling. So
yeah, well, that I think goes in reverse to those citizen scientists that we mentioned that we've worked with from the beginning. We get all sorts of insights on the dynamics of the bay and ground truthing our data and learning about what's going on a more day-to-day basis. We come monthly, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. That's pretty frequent. Mm-hmm. But you're out on the water every day, and so you notice those little changes in color or in the amount of seagrass in a specific area maybe more clearly than we do sometimes. And so I love that it can be kind of a team effort, and mm-hmm. I think that's where our science is probably strongest, is when we can take that real data and those numbers that we collect and then fact check it or combine it with anecdotal stories that we hear from you all. And excited to see that continue into the future.
Yeah, and I think if only the educating part is there, you know, that helps people make a difference too, because when they see stuff like that, they try to do better. Mm-hmm. So if that's all that happens at first, it's a big help, you know.
Yeah, I know our team gets some questions when they're down at the boat ramp, and that's usually a great opportunity to share a little mm-hmm. bit about, hey, we're out here checking the water, we take, you know, water quality samples on a monthly basis. It's nothing unusual, but this is what we're looking for. And mm-hmm. I know we've met some of our volunteers just through those interactions too, and kind of spark of curiosity. Another question related to anglers being out on the water. How do you see recreational anglers playing a role in conservation?
I think most recreational anglers are like-minded and they want to give back to the system. It's now more than ever. And they're a huge part of our system. Without the recreational anglers, Baffin would be just another bay, you know, fishing bay. You know, they really come down and give back to the community, spend their money in the area, and like I say, giving back to the fishery as well as far as releasing fish. It blows my mind, honestly, the amount of recreational anglers come down and let these fish go. So it's a blessing to our bay system to have those kind of guys come down, because there are a lot of areas in Texas and throughout the nation where the fishery is dissolving. You know, it is going away because there's so much being taken from the bay, whether it's people taking it or it's pollutants or things like that. The system is breaking down in some areas, and we're blessed to see a comeback in ours and see so many people care, so many recreational anglers that come down and put the initiative out there and try to do better. You know, that's great for Baffin Bay, and I hope that continues. We're blessed to have that many people care about our system.
Yeah, they're there because really they incredible. Want to be there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're traveling these distances mm-hmm. and coming all the way down. It's a trip to get there. Yeah.
Without recreational anglers, Baffin would be in worse shape, you know, so the tourism helps, the people help.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we've talked a bunch about recreational anglers and how doing things like catch and release is really important for the health of the bay and how you've seen that change over time. Are there other conservation practices or even kind of community stewardship practices that recreational anglers and hunters can do, or recommendations that you would make to those groups for conserving Baffin Bay and the area around it?
I would recommend, you know, courtesy goes a long way in conserving a lot of things. So whether you're loading the truck up to go hunting or you're down at the boat ramp getting your boat ready, be friendly, be courteous, you know, mm-hmm. help people out when you can, and that goes a long way. That helps bring people back too. Mm-hmm. Another way, you know, attend some of the meetings we have at the lodge whenever we host things like the Bringing Baffin Back stakeholders group or just informational meetings that we have. They could be the Anglers Night Out, the CCA events and stuff, and come listen to some of the guest speakers like Chris Bush or Chris McKinley or Mike Wetz. You know, we've had a lot of guys come down and talk, and even some of my guys, like my buddy Darren that owns Feral Concepts, so knowledgeable and care so much about our environment. And just to come down and listen to those guys, how they've made a difference, how we can contribute. There's so many people out there with so much knowledge about it, and you don't really get that knowledge unless you come out to these events or listen to a podcast that they might put on. So little ways like that helps, and it give you ideas and other ways to give back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Speaking to those meetings, I've of course attended some of the Baffin Bay stakeholder group meetings and Bringing Baffin Back initiative meetings, but also the CCA Anglers Nights Out. Those are really fun events, and I remember the one that you all hosted maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago that Dr. Wetz spoke at. just so many people there, and I met so many faces mm-hmm. that I'd either heard on social media or through podcasts, but it was great to meet them in person. And everyone brings a different perspective to these issues, and I think when we're talking about a whole ecosystem conservation project like the Bringing Baffin Back initiative, and mm-hmm. thinking of Baffin Bay itself, but also the land around it and the watershed and all of those different land use practices and resources and things that are happening in the area surrounding the bay that contribute to the overall long-term health of the mm-hmm. system, you can't figure that all out on your own. You need to include the people that are fishing, the people that are hunting, people that are mm-hmm. farming, people that live in the area, visitors to the area. And so those are such great opportunities to both hear from other people but make your voice heard, and you probably bring something new to the table every time you attend.
Yeah, and everybody makes a difference, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody that shows up makes a difference. They contribute in some way. So it's, if you think you're not going to make a difference, you're not going to contribute, show up, because you'll be surprised. Everybody does make a difference.
Yeah, that's great advice. So thinking back to the whole community around Rivera and Baffin Bay, I think that probably includes Kingsville and other kind of close communities, and really the broader South Texas community, I guess. Why is giving back to that area important to you? You mentioned some of the sports team donations you make and fishing clubs and hosting those educational events.
You know, we want it to be great. And we have children that live in the community and friends
and
family.
Here.
We want it to, you know.
We want, just like any other parent wants, we want our kids to succeed, and we want them to have more than what we had. And I hope that our bay is in better shape for our children,
mm-hmm.
not just our bay, but, you know, the whole surrounding area. Like you said, it's one of the biggest areas. Our chapter, our CCA chapter, the Brush Country chapter, is one of the bigger ones. So we have Alice, you got Ben Bold, you got Sandia, you have Valfurious, Premont, Kingsville, Rivera, Sarita. So it's a big area. There's a lot of people. And if you can get everybody involved, you know, it's cool to see the community grow in ways where you give back. And it's like a disease almost. You know, it's contagious. You start doing something and somebody else notices it, and they want to either join you or they want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. And I think our community needs more. I don't think we're doing enough. I mean, we give back as much as we can, but I think there's a lot more ways we can give back, more ways to contribute, whether that's with our youth at the school, or bringing them down to the lodge, or even getting people involved in the area that just haven't been there, you know, lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like this weekend.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to contribute, whether it's time or money. I mean, if you can't afford to contribute money, and contribute time.
Mm-hmm.
Show up and show out.
Yeah, volunteering is a really powerful thing. I know you all have that trash cleanup coming up this weekend, that'll have happened by the time this podcast is out. But we'd love to hear more about your plans for that and what you see kind of future steps might be.
I kind of got, you know, the beach cleanup is in my blood through school, through education. We did that as a community. That's one thing our community did always. It was through FFA. Our ag teachers had us do beach cleanups and stuff like that. And it's a good way to bring the community together.
Mm-hmm. You know, put in the time.
Yeah. And it's something that we hope to do a lot more of in the future. So I know the podcast will be out by then, but we will be having another one. So check us out on Facebook and kind of keep up with us. And when we do have the next one, please come down and help and get involved, you know.
It'll be fun.
Love it. I'm looking forward to it. Could you give a little recap of what the beach cleanup will look like, kind of what time of day and what people can expect when they go to one of these in the future?
Absolutely. So 8 a.m., we're doing check-in at the lodge.
Beat the heat.
Beat the heat. That's the main thing. It's hot right now. So come check in at the lodge at 8 o'clock. We'll be supplying, you know, bags to pick up trash, water, free lunch.
Love it.
They come check in. We'll all go out, whether it's by land, by boat, collect as much trash as we can, get it, you know, get our hands dirty. And
we will be giving away door prizes.
Oh, fun. That always brings people out.
That's
love it.
What we're trying to do. So, you know, just make the most out of cleaning up our community and the beaches. I mean, everyone loves to go to Baffin to hang out on the beach or fish on the beach, and it's, you know, it sucks when you go and there's either big debris or the trash cans are overflowing, or, you know, we can do things here in the community.
Every little bit makes a difference, right? Whether it's picking up a plastic water bottle or a dirty diaper or whatever it is, you know, it's a our bay is pristine and we want to keep it that way. So if all you have is a Walmart sack and that's all you get, every little bit makes a difference.
And it's so satisfying.
Join us.
End up with this bag of trash that you can actually throw in. You see the difference you've made afterwards. That Texas Brigades camp that we talked about earlier, we had, of course, fishing, and we had birding activity and water quality sampling and kids out on the boat. But we also had a trash cleanup this past year. And I think that was the feedback we got from kids who attended. That was their very favorite part of the camp. And we laughed about it because, you know, they got to hang out with game wardens and do all this other fun stuff. And their favorite activity was picking up trash.
Yeah. But
I think it was because it was something they got to do hands-on and fill these bags up and see the difference they made.
And that's why we wanted to include the boats.
And I
tell the guys, and when we have our meeting Saturday, I'll tell them, why don't y'all go fishing for a little while? Because that's part of having the boats out there is we wade fish these shorelines, and you walk back to the boat and there's trash everywhere. So, you know, go make a wade, catch a big trout, and pick up some trash on the way back.
It's a great combo. And then hopefully a habit that people can get into and that might kind of, I guess, lead to other conservation practices down the line. You got to start somewhere. Well, that's great. Excited to hear about how the cleanup goes. Are there any other ways or things that you're looking forward to doing, whether they're events in the future or continuing those trash cleanups? I know you mentioned maybe a youth camp. Are there other things you're hoping to do or looking forward to?
I would love to do like some kind of kids camp in the summer, now that it is our busiest time. So we're kind of working through, do we do it in the summer? Do we do it in the fall? Kind of school schedules.
Of course, the kids are free in the summer.
Yes, of course. So just something.
Moving
forward. Teaching them how to cast a fishing pole or why we fish certain spots or what they're eating or...
Moving forward, we definitely have plans in the works for a summer camp, maybe like a week-long deal. Just we're gonna get some feedback from some local families and stuff like that on how long it'll be and on whether it'll be an overnight camp or a day camp. But when we have things coming out in the future, like I said, follow us on Facebook. You'll be able to see that stuff. And you won't have to be a local Claiborne County resident for the camp. Obviously, there's going to be select spots. But if you want to come down and do that and get involved, just kind of follow us, and when we update post, you'll hear about it.
Great, yeah, follow them on Facebook. That's definitely the best way to keep up to date. Final kind of congratulations slash question for you. You recently welcomed a new member to your family just this past, I guess, what month was that?
November.
Yes. So about a year ago now, that's
almost
time flies.
A year.
But looking ahead, you've talked a little bit about preserving the bay and the area for the next generation, but what do you really hope that your family can experience and your kids can get out of spending time down on the bay and growing up there?
That they have a wonderful childhood. You know, the childhood he had when he could walk around the bay and catch fish and play in the water. And
but there's a sense of responsibility that comes with stewardship. You know, you get that freedom, but you also have that responsibility to take care of the area. So I'd love to see my kids grow up in a great ecosystem where they can catch big trout and redfish and still walk the shorelines and not have to duck and dodge piers and stuff like that. But I'm going to try to instill in those kids, you know, you protect nature and stuff like that, and you protect your resource.
Leave it better than you found it.
Maybe it all comes down to that. Pretty simple. Leave it better than you found it.
It comes down to the youth, right? Here in 20 years, we're going to depend on them to do what we're doing now. So it's those kids are going to have it instilled in them.
It's up to us to set the stage for them to
They're
to
already
succeed.
Out walking the beaches, so it's only a
They'll be out there picking up trash on Saturday.
That's
awesome. I love that. Well, thank you all so much for being here and for sharing your stories and advice. And it's just been a pleasure to get to talk with you and hear more about your work and the lodge and, of course, talk about Baffin Bay.
Well, thank you so much for what y'all do. Without y'all, you know, and like you said, it's contagious. So we watch and see what you guys do, and we want to be part of it, and we want to grow from that also. So thank you, and thank the Heart Research Institute and bringing Baffin back. And without those guys, without all y'all, you know, we wouldn't be here.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. So you've mentioned a couple times, if you want to learn more about the lodge, you have a website.
Yes.
Facebook seems like really the go-to.
Yes, Facebook, Instagram, LaPescaLodge.com. You can call or text me anytime. I'd be more than willing to answer any questions. My number is 361-296-4030.
Great.
I'm free anytime. So any questions or bookings, get with us, and we'd love to make it happen.
Sounds great. Same goes for
events,
the Bring Beth and
educational
back.
Yeah. Events. Yeah. I'm interested in that as well.
Yeah, sounds like you're open to new ideas.
Yes.
And same for the Heart Research Institute and Bringing Baffin Back. You can find us online, on Facebook, on Instagram, and all that social media stuff. And if you want to learn more, I would recommend checking out those resources. And until next time, thanks for tuning into the Gulf Stream podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
If you enjoyed the episode, consider contributing to a greater Gulf by visiting heartresearch.org. That's HARTE research.org.